coming up on today's program.
It'd be cool if you just kind of like jumped around and tried something you haven't maybe tried before and see a new artist, see somebody that you've maybe never heard of.
Dayton Music Fest 2025. We've got all the details on the annual event coming up in today's program. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend. Those details coming from WISO's music director, Juliet Frumhold, later in the program. I'm Jerry Kenney. As always, thanks for sharing your weekend with WISO. Up first, ADA accessible outdoor recreation isn't available everywhere, but with the help of the Lake Loramie Family Adaptive Program, Lake Loramie State Park built out several activities with mobility impaired and cognitively disabled people in mind. WISO's Adriana Martinez-Smiley ventured out to the lake to experience it firsthand.
It was a sunny 85-degree day in Minster. Perfect weather for a boat ride on the lake.
Actually, right there is fine.
Okay.
Okay, sir, we're going to go backwards.
Nice ride.
Here we go. One, two, three.
One by one, residents from a nearby assisted living center were carefully escorted onto modified pontoon boats at the Earls Island dock. Once aboard, caretakers fit the passengers with bright pink or green nautical captain hats and life jackets. Now they're ready to set sail. The pontoon launch is just one activity available through the Family Adaptive Program at Lake Loramie State Park. It was founded by the volunteer-led Lake Loramie Improvement Association. Leon Mertz, president of the association, was inspired to start the program in 2018 after his wife sustained a back injury and could no longer safely board a kayak. That's when he stumbled upon adaptive boat launches. These devices allow people to slide themselves onto a seat and use handrails to stabilize or lift themselves into a boat.
My wife and I, we looked at a launch, fell in love with it. We watched a lot of videos about it, saying, yeah, this is what we really wanted. We started the fundraising, and within 3 months' time, my wife and I was able to generate enough money, $60,000 at the time, to put the first launch in here.
Since then, the Improvement Association raised $250,000 to gift equipment like wheelchair-friendly picnic tables, off-road wheelchairs, and high-weight capacity pontoon boats to Lake Loramie State Park. Volunteers and park staff host multiple organizations every month, such as assisted living homes or disability service agencies and nonprofits. On this day, Elmwood Assisted Living of New Bremen had its annual excursion to Lake Loramie. One of Elmwood's nurses, Paige Brugman, joined in on the boat ride with residents.
When they go back to where, like, Elmwood, they'll just be happier in themselves. Like, it's a mood lifter upper, getting them out and about. Not everyone gets this opportunity, and it's great.
Elmwood resident Tom Wenning has memories of fishing out on the lake many years ago, but now he's made a new one with his wife, Evelyn.
Pontoon ride, that's the first time we ever did that, and that was fun. It's very relaxing, perfect day, perfect weather, and we saw some of the birds and some very nice homes out on the lakes.
Resident Camilla Anderson receives memory care for her dementia. Going out on the lake helped her recall one special memory.
At Filbert Island, we would take my children there and go swimming.
After the boat ride, the group heads to a shelter house for lunch.
Is it okay if I sit here?
If you behave.
Yeah, I'll try.
Ruth Wendell moved to the Elmwood community because her daughter lives in New Bremen. A Lake Loramie boat ride is a first for her.
I think it's a good thing. We got to move around once in a while.
Association President Mertz says the goal of the family adaptive area is to ensure people of all abilities can come together and enjoy what the lake has to offer. The most important part of that is getting buy-in.
One of the things that my wife and I did while we were working on this is we talked to people that had the disabilities and we asked them, what do you like? What don't you like? How can we improve this or that?
Now that it's been 7 years, the program still has a lot of potential, according to Mertz. They've drafted design plans for an accessible cabin, received money to construct a new accessible greenhouse, and will soon start raising money for an adult changing facility. Mertz says anyone can become impaired at any time. That's why this program is something he believes in building.
Because, one, we're helping people out. And the other thing is if, like, you have an accident or I have a stroke, hopefully this program is still going and helps us out.
Whether someone wants to see wildlife again or relax by the water, Mertz hopes the lake brings joy to everyone. For WYSO News, I'm Adriana Martinez-Smiley.
Northeast Ohio is home to a top manufacturer of guitar pedals, which musicians use to create distortion or reverb effects. As IdeaStream Public Media's Jay Nungesser reports, the company is feeling the pinch from new international tariffs.
In a nondescript industrial building in Akron, workers and machines alike are busy turning raw metal cases and circuit boards into objects of both physical and sonic beauty.
We make approximately 50,000 pedals a year. We have a little over 40 pedals in our line.
That's Julie Robbins, CEO and co-owner of Earthquaker Devices. The company makes guitar pedals used in songs by Paul Simon, Coldplay, and this one by the Black Keys. Earthquaker, headquartered in Akron, was founded in 2004 by Robin's now husband, Jamie Stillman, after he repaired a broken overdrive pedal. The business has grown, but Robin says Earthquaker saw a 200% increase in costs and more than a 30% decrease in sales after higher tariffs took effect earlier this year. Those tariff rates have now been scaled back, which Stillman says is good, but she says the situation in any given month is hard to predict.
Yeah, I mean, we have a weekly tariff meeting, and just difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Unlike some competitors, Earthquaker doesn't just import finished pedals. Instead, it buys raw capacitors and unfinished circuit boards from suppliers in China and other nations, and completes the assembly locally. Because the parts are foreign-made and the finished products are sold in the U.S., the company doesn't qualify for some federal programs that could help recoup tariff costs. Stillman says the business has found creative ways to control expenses, such as making limited batches of pedals with existing stock and finding alternative vendors.
Like I was showing you the jacks, which currently come from China, and we were hoping that we found a suitable replacement from Taiwan. But when they went through the wave solder, they melted.
So now they're trying other suppliers not subject to Chinese tariffs.
Tariffs going up is not just the issue. The uncertainty about what will happen is a bigger issue.
Ju-Yun Park is an associate professor of economics at Kent State University. She says businesses may benefit from the weakening U.S. dollar, which will make their products cheaper to export. But as steel and aluminum tariffs continue to fluctuate, local manufacturers are unable to plan ahead.
So businesses can handle negative shocks. Well, they go through a business cycle all the time. So as long as they're aware, they can plan what to do around that situation. What's hard with this situation is they don't know what happened, like, literally tomorrow.
Flaco Torres is an Akron-based hip-hop musician who uses many guitar pedals, including those made by Earthquaker, in his live sets.
The way I create is sometimes you just like throw a bunch of stuff at the wall. For a vocalist and a hip hop artist, running your vocals through guitar pedals is not something that is common at all.
Torres says local artists who use the pedals might lose the ability to connect at Earthquaker Day, a yearly day-long showcase and sale of the company's pedals with live music, gear clinics, and more.
It's as Akron as it gets, and that would be a gut punch to lose them.
Back at Earthquaker, Robbins hopes the forecast gets brighter, but if they can't find the alternative suppliers, they may need to offshore their manufacturing or even sell the business altogether. For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm Jay Nungesser.
You're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Music from the Photons. They'll be some of the guests at Dayton Music Fest. The annual event takes place on September 5th and 6th at multiple venues around Dayton, including Blind Bob's, Yellow Cab Tavern, Oregon Express, Trolley Stop, and The Bright Side. Recently, Brandon Hawk and Paige Beller, this year's organizers of the event, stopped by the WISO studios to speak with music director and host of Wednesday night's Kaleidoscope, Juliet Fromholtz.
And I'm going to turn my attention to the folks in the air studio with me, organizers of this year's Dayton Music Fest, and old friends of the show, Paige Beller and Brandon Hawk. Welcome, y'all.
Hey.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Now, folks who may not be as familiar with Dayton Music Fest may not know the kind of tradition of this festival, which is typically a couple or a group of folks take on the organizing for a few years, and then they pass it on to the next and to the next and to the next. This year, you two are stepping in as the new team organizing DMF. What's it like to be a part of this musical legacy in our community?
To be honest, in all the years that DMF has happened in the past, I have been a complete and total spectator. Working on a project of this scale is new to me. I'm used to booking, you know, multiple venues sometimes, you know, depending on what year it is, and you know, it's been more of a quantity thing, booking something that we're working with, you know, five different venues and, you know, over the course of two nights, well, five on Friday, four on Saturday, to be specific. It's an immense undertaking. Getting every single band's, you know, schedules in line with two dates, with, you know, all the venues, you know, just working on the back end of getting sponsors, working with the different venues, making sure that, you know, what we have like put together vibes with them is it's intense. It's intense, but it has been incredibly rewarding. You know, we're starting to get really closer to, you know, that starting line. You know, September 5th is around the corner. And, you know, me and Paige worked really hard on this. It's been slightly nerve-wracking. We're, you know, like, I'm used to working by myself. Paige is used to working by herself, you know. So us coming together as a team, it's like a kind of a new undertaking in itself. So it's definitely been rewarding, but the rewards are all yet to come.
Paige, what about you?
When Nathan approached me about it, it piqued my interest. It's a huge undertaking. I haven't done any major festival style things since the last time I did Lady Fest, which would have been 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I think that might, a while ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been booking at Yellow Cab, which is a different monster in itself, like trying to figure that out every week. But yeah, it's a whole thing putting it all together, getting all the pieces. But it's been really cool. It's an honor to take on such a long-standing tradition. It feels good to be trusted with that, and I hope I don't mess it up.
You guys got this.
Double that.
Well, you've been rolling out the lineup on social media, and we got the full schedule today, right?
Yep,
just came out today. Yep. Yeah. And I was commenting as we were getting ready, like, I'm so digging this. You know, we have everybody, like, I'm looking at Friday right now, everybody from Melina Marie to Moon Temple to Crabs Without Legs to the Photons to the new Old Fashioned. As you two started really thinking about, okay, we're taking this on, what do we want this to be? How are you thinking about that blend of genre, of era? Because this is a really diverse lineup in terms of genre, era, corners of the Dayton community.
There's a lot of, you know, people that have been around probably the entirety of Dayton Music Fest playing this year. And then there's people that are kind of really new to this scene, almost like at their infancy, involved in it this year. One of the things that I think we really wanted to approach with Dayton Music Fest this year is really, really focusing on the multi-genre aspect. Many times in years past, you know, Dayton Music Fest has more so been more of an indie rock fest. And getting, you know, folk acts, getting the metal acts, getting the hip-hop acts involved in it this year, I think was really at the heart of, you know, the seed that we planted in starting to do this in the first place. You know, making sure that we really just wanted to make sure that every venue had, like a full spice to it, you know. Like, we weren't just going to go to Trolley Stop and just do folk rock and indie rock. We're not just going to go to Bob's and just make it all hard punk and metal bands. We wanted people to go to different spots and, you know, be like, wow, I've never seen a metal band here before. Maybe, you know, like, yeah, just really focusing on the variety was like really my focus. What do you think, Paige?
Oh, yeah. That was the entire stipulation of doing it, was to make sure that we had a good blend of everybody involved. I mean, there is so much music out there. So I really tried to make it scheduling wise to where if you do want to see all one genre, you can. Like, you can still hop around. You can get a full night of, if you want all like harder rock stuff or hip hop or whatever, you can do that. But it'd be cool if you didn't. It'd be cool if you just kind of like jumped around and tried something you haven't maybe tried before and see a new artist, see somebody that you've maybe never heard of. I think that it would be really nice for people to just that maybe don't normally go out all the time and just go and kind of get a sampling of what there is to offer.
And to that end, you guys have really intentionally created space within the scheduling this year so that people don't feel like they have to be locked into one place, so they can have that travel time. Yep. To get, you know, from Trolley Stop down to Bob's, over to the Bright Side, etc.
Yep. There's good. I mean, I think it's 35 minutes I try to sneak in there. So, yeah, there's plenty of time. Like, you can – if you really hustle, you could see six bands. Like, you could see more, honestly.
Yeah, shout out to Paige. She worked, like, meticulously hard on this schedule, just trying to make sure that the bands, you know, had enough time to play and that the venues had the variety. And, yeah, when she gave me the first few drafts, I was like, you know what? I think that looks good. She's like, thank God. I've been sitting here on my butt for 3-4 hours just like moving around these little post-it notes and just
trying and
getting up, walking away from the table and then coming back and being like, you know what? Set and let it.
Well, I love the sort of juxtapositions we have. The one that I just keep zeroing in on as I'm looking at the lineup is Friday night at Yellow Cab. We go from Dos Grandiose to Brother Hill to Full Body.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It's a weird one. It's like so Dayton.
I feel like I'm into it. I think that that's a fun night. I think that if you do hang out, like it puts you through all the motions.
It
for
does.
Sure. And I'm excited that the fact that Brother Hill is in town is great because, I mean, this is his only show for, I mean, it's been.
He has been doing the good work in Ukraine for ever since the war started.
So he's hard to get in town.
Yeah, he's very passionate. I've been working with him since he was 19. I think I booked some of his first shows downtown as Gray Leaves. I mean, I don't have to call him Brother Hill by the name. He already is Brother Hill to me. So,
it's gonna be a weird one. And then Full Body at the end is it's a curveball.
I love that.
I can say I really wanted to include electronic music this year. Like that scene is really thriving in Dayton right now.
It's
hundreds of kids showing up every weekend. Not even kids. Like it's a really diverse crowd. Like it's cool. Like they're working really hard. They're doing a lot of like. Just, I mean, there was a rave at an Arby's, like, this week. Like, they're just doing weird stuff, and I'm into it. I think it's cool.
Absolutely. And looking at Saturday night as well, again, just the diversity of the lineup, you know, across the lineup, we have everybody from Kellen Williams, fantastic. Talk about somebody I've been seeing play since they were like super, super young. Mm-hmm. And he is still super young.
Yeah.
Fantastic musician that spans blues and rock and roll, to Kittinger, which is Amber Hart's new project, mm-hmm. To everybody from Leviathan Cycle and Scheller on the kind of opposite end of things.
Yeah, Leviathan's one of my favorite up-and-coming bands. I've been working with them for 2+ years. And they came out just so hot. Like I booked them at Bob's, and the first night they're there to play, like I listened to their stuff, through the internet, and got a vibe for it. But the live show, it just speaks other volumes. And they have a great crowd. They're just the nicest dudes. So I'm really happy that we can involve them here. That was definitely one of my hand picks. I was just like, you know what, I want to get some Leviathan Cycle in this. So, but yeah, I mean, them alongside with Mood Temple and like Landfill, they're really covering, that metal, facet that we were going for. And I mean, we had a long list of people that we just could not squeeze into, this tube of toothpaste, but, we'll get them next year.
That's right. That's right. There's always next year. For now, for this year, Dayton Music Fest, Friday, September 5th, and Saturday, September 6th, going down at Yellow Cab Tavern, Blind Bob's, Oregon Express, Trolley Stop, and The Bright Side on Friday, only for The Bright Side, but everybody else is both days. If folks are like, okay, I want to come out, what's the best way for them to both check out the lineup and come out to see the show?
www.daytonmusicfest.com. Has the schedule, has the lineup, has more information about all of the bands.
Well, what else should folks know before they make plans to come out, before they mark this weekend off on their calendar as, this is my weekend to come be downtown and explore local music?
Interesting. No, sorry, I really didn't get all that question. mostly what I want to focus on right now is I really want to give a shout out to our sponsors. They're the people that really helped us get this off the ground. I want to give thanks to Elizabeth Cooper at Glasshouse Realty, a Dayton Real Estate Crush, Robin Heather at Canal Arcade and Deli. Shout out to 937 Stage Front with Chris.
Fantastic, fantastic. Paige, anybody else we should shout out or acknowledge?
I just think that I think you'll have a good time. Come check it out. There's going to be so many good bands. There's there's so much community involved in this. Like all of these bands are connected in different ways. They're all out there putting on their own shows, putting on their own festivals. I really think that if you come out, you will find a band that you will be into. Like, I don't think it's possible for you to have a bad time. Like, I just don't. There's so much good stuff on here. And they're all doing their own thing. Like, come learn about these bands. Come see what's happening.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, speaking of local bands, I think we've got some more music from the Photons to get to.
The Photons are so sick. Like, they're great.
I'm loving it. And I'm loving that we'll be able to see them at Dayton Music Fest. Paige, Brandon, thank you guys so much for being here. And thanks for taking on this fest. I am so excited about
this
year.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Julia.
Music from the Photons taking us out of that segment. You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. And thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Coming up next, it's Today from the Ohio Newsroom.
Today from the Ohio Newsroom, meet Miss Wheelchair Ohio. Today from the Ohio Newsroom takes you around the state, connecting you with news and neighbors from all over Ohio. I'm Kendall Crawford. This week, Alexandra Martinez is traveling to Grand Rapids, Michigan to compete for Miss Wheelchair America. Martinez is the latest in a long line of women to represent the state in the competition, which celebrates the advocacy, leadership, and excellence of people with disabilities. Alexandra, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Ohio was actually the first state to crown a Miss Wheelchair back in 1972. What exactly does the competition entail for Miss Wheelchair Ohio?
Yeah, so it's a two-day competition.
first round is more so serious of like, what does this title mean to you? What will you do with your platform? And then the second round of interviews is silly. Like, what would you do with $1 million if you had it? Or like, what is your theme song of your life? And then the next day was the crowning ceremony. So we gave a speech. We got tallied of our points of our interviews and our speech. And then whoever got the most points won.
Your advocacy work in Ohio has focused on spreading the awareness of the therapeutic benefits of dance. Why is it important for people of all abilities to be in creative spaces like dance?
I think it's so important for many reasons. Specifically for me, dance actually saved my life. I was very depressed for a very long time. And the thing that kept me going forward was, you know, thinking about the next dance class, thinking about what I could do, like, choreography-wise. And as someone with a disability who has gone through a lot of trauma and a lot of pain with my body, it's nice to have something that has me connecting to my body that is just fun and therapeutic and a way to, you know, release.
Yeah, and I really love that focus on joy, because obviously part of your role with this title is to highlight those barriers that people with disabilities might face. But it's also about spotlighting successes. So what are you most proud of, I guess, in the last year?
I just think having this title and highlighting disabled joy has been just the highlight of this title and this year. I think it's so much fun to just say, like, disabled people deserve to be joyful. There's this stigma of disability where, like, our whole life is just, like, we're miserable and we don't have lives and we can't contribute to society. But I think with Miss Wheelchair Ohio, having this platform, I can speak out and be like, we are contributing members of society and we can, you know, have full, beautiful, joyful lives. And I just think that's been the best thing about this title in this year.
This isn't just a competition. It's also a chance to meet with other women in wheelchairs, to build community, participate in educational workshops. What do you hope to leave Miss Wheelchair America with?
I mean, I already know I'm going to leave with so many friends. I've connected to the girls through, like, texting and Instagram and stuff, and everyone is so nice. They're just like, I'm so, so excited to meet everybody and, like, give them the biggest hugs. And so I'm hoping to leave with, you know, that bond of just sisterhood. And then also I'm hoping to leave with more like advocacy skills, more like confidence through public speaking. So hopefully I will, you know, gain more confidence.
That's Alexandra Martinez, Miss Wheelchair Ohio. Best of luck to you this week.
Thank you.
Support thoughtful journalism of stories like these while connecting with engaged and loyal listeners statewide by becoming a sponsor of Today from the Ohio Newsroom. Contact Dan at ohionewsroom.org to learn more.
That's all today from the Ohio Newsroom. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
This is Bird Note. David Sibley's paintings connect millions of people with the lives of birds. His delight and skill in observing and portraying birds culminated in the Sibley Guide to Birds.
I spent years in the field just traveling and birding and doing pencil sketches and getting to know the birds, learning the shapes and the postures and the general patterns. The drawing was so important to me that there was never any question in my mind of continuing on to paint the birds. It's how I study the birds. And then when I go into the studio to paint, I have my sketches. I gather together all the photographs I can find. I've already visited museums and looked at specimens and taken notes on those. But what I try to put into the painting is sort of a synthesis of all of the things that I've seen, all the things that I've learned. It's the impression of many experiences.
You can watch a video of David Sibley sketching a Townsend's warbler
at birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
Telling vivid, sound-rich stories about birds and the challenges they face, that is BirdNote. And that is a wrap on this edition of WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Thanks also for checking out our weekly podcast. And you can like, subscribe, and download wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme music, bookending the program today, is called Another Beautiful Day in Paradise by Magnolia Bolthead. Join us next weekend. We've got more stories for you then. I'm Jerry Kenney.